do the proper thing, when one does proper actions, what his brothers have total devotion. That's called Char Yichud HaMaisa. To be Miyachid himself, to dedicate himself fully. That's the title, the entire Shar is devoted to Char Yichud HaMaisa. So it brings there, in Char Yichud HaMaisa, it brings regarding a particular chosid. And he says that Omrud, he said regarding a particular chosid, it was said about him, that he once encountered, he met Shepoga Noshim, he met people, Shovim, he says, Mimulchemes Oivim. People that were involved in the Mulchama, they came back from war, soldiers. Soldiers came back from war. And also he says, Visholulu Sholol, he says, Achar Mulchama Chazoke. And he basically, they vanquished the enemy. They were very successful. They were very successful, they were victorious in the Mulchama. So Amalahem, so the Chosid said to them, so brings the Chavis of others. So responded to the soldier, came back, and he said, "Shabte min hamolchom haktano, you have just now returned," he says, "from the small war, from the minor war. However, get ready," he said, "his attitude, l'molchom hagdoilo. But make sure that you are ready," he says, "for the big molchoma, for the major molchoma." You understand? So he said, "Umahi, what is that big molchoma?" So he said to them, "That is the molchoma of the Yetzer Hara," he says. Melchoma Hagdoyle is Melchemes Hayetzer Vechayolo. Yitzhahara comes not only alone, but he comes with all of his armies. It certainly, as you know, from the Kabbalistic point of view, when last week's Parshin, Parshin Vayishlach, Esav, who is of course symbolic of the Soton, the Nochosh, the Sarsal Esav, that is the Yitzhahara, the source of all evil, Esav comes with Arba Meyus Ish Imoy. And the Sefer Kabbalah points out that the Arba Meisish, these are basically 400 forces of evil. So it means that the Yitzhar does not come alone. He has a whole entourage. He has a whole entourage, and there is 400. The significance of 400 is another Indian, which is also discussed in the Sfarim HaKdoshim. But at the point you see that Yitzhar comes with Chayolov. He comes with his army. And that's what the Chavis HaVavah said to him. You just finished, and you thought you're such a big deal. You came from Muhammad. I came from Muhammad. Come back. A tremendous accomplishment. But he said to them, the great accomplishment that you think that you have accomplished coming back, but this is a small war. This is a small war compared to the Milchoma HaGedoylo, to the big war and to the great war, which is the major war. Jessica Bruche, that the Sefer Yetevlev says, matter of fact, that we find, you know, about the Milchoma of Midian. But Milchoma of Midian, when the Eden came back and the Baruch Hashem was out in Shmai, they were successful. And they brought back the Sholo, they brought back all of the booty and so on. And the third describes how to divide it. So we find the Lashon of the Pasuk is, it says, Vayomer Elozer HaKoyen. Elozer HaKoyen said, El Anshei HaTzova HaBoim LaMilchoma. You should say, HaBoim Min HaMilchoma. They just came back from war. But he speaks of the Anshei HaTzova HaBoim LaMilchoma. So he points it out and says, the truth is, that the Chavis of Ovis, who tells us that there is always this big Milchoma, which is the Milchemes HaYetzer, especially, he says, especially, and this may be interesting, a extra beer to the Chavis HaVavah, especially if soldiers come back from a war, from a physical war, and they are matzliach, and they had a good general, and they had good weapons. Here's where the Yetzer Hara finds the opportunity to be able to drag you down in giving you the opportunity to think that what? That's Koichi Vayitzim Yodi. So Allah Zakoyin, he saw that they came back so happy, and Lonifka Menuish, by the way, was so successful that not even one person, not even one person failed to come back. This is a tremendous, tremendous, which is unheard of. Manitka Memenuish. So this was an opportunity, Elozar Koyin understood. This was the opportunity of the Yetzer Hara really to get on them and to mail it, to make this victory, to turn it into a tremendous Yerida spiritually. So he says to the Anche, he says, he speaks to the Anche at Sova Haboim Lamilchoma, that they should understand that you think you just came from a war. Coming from this war really opened the door now to a new war, which is even a bigger war, as the Chavis HaVavah has pointed out, which is the Milchemes HaYetzer. So that's the quid number one. Interesting is also that in Shar Yichud HaMaiser, in another area, which is in Perek Hei, Chavis HaVavah tells us another story. And it tells a story about that Omru, it was stated about Echud Ben HaChassidim. Chavis HaVavah says, it was stated about one of the Chassidim, he says, that went into a store, Liknois Chepetz. He goes into a chanus, he goes into the store to buy a chefetz. So he comes into the store, and he says, there happened to be a neighbor of this chosid. The neighbor of the chosid knew that this was a chosid. So he tells the storekeeper, I want you to know who this customer is, not such a pushy person. This person I want you to know is a Odom Choshev Moed Agodol B'Toyre. And Mele, he said to him, Vater loy, Mechoy loy, Bezoil Vasei Ketsoyne. So the Shochan, the neighbor of the Chosid, went and whispered into the ear. Whispered into the ear, I guess he didn't whisper low enough. He said into the ear of the storekeeper that this person, do him a good favor. Do him a big favor. And see whatever he wants and be able to fulfill his wishes and so on, because he's a great Odom Godel, he's a Godel B'Toyre. Says the Chayyus Avodas, Omolay Achosid. The Chosid said, Eini Tzorek, he says, Levaturach, I don't need your favors. Kilei Bosi Liknois Ki'im B'Mamoini V'Loi B'Toyrosi. He came to buy with my money, not with my Toyre. So he says, Hamoichel, he says, all of it. And but the Chayyus Avodas goes on to say, Ad Kedekach was insistent that what, that he's not using up his Toyre for that. That Umiya in Liknois, he refused to buy the chepitz from this particular store. Ubikish Eitzel Zalos, he went to find a different store that does not know who he is. Still, when we find the Gemara many times saying that the Torah should not be used as a kardum lach for boy, the person should not be handed personally from his kovet atoyre. So this the Chodesh of Lovitz brings down Shayukud Amayis, brings down Perikei. It's an opportunity because we're only child we're talking, so to get a little bit of a glimpse in the other areas that the Chodesh of Lovitz brings down. Bring on one more Nikuda here. That is also, he brings down. Because Rav Avi says that, also, Omru, he says that they said, Al Echad Menach Hasidim. It was said regarding one of the Hasidim, he says, also in Shai Yichud HaMaisa, in a different Mokim. Shom Al Chaveroi, one of the Hasidim went over to someone and says to him the following lesson. Hanish Taviso. What does Hanish Taviso mean? Do you, he says, possess in your life equality? Is your life Shoveh? Do you possess equality within your own life? So the person that understands what the Chosid is asking. So the person responds and he says, Beis Inyan, which Inyan in my life are you asking me if I possess equality? Omalois, he says to him, what I'm asking you is, he says, Hashove Beinecho, he says, Hashvach Vahagnus. This praise, he says, and insult, is it the same thing? Most people, of course, cannot handle both, certainly not on the same level. Everybody likes praise. Not too many people like insult. And even, let's say, you're a Madra Medoisov, but there are clouds, it's not Shoveh B'Shoveh. You still like praise a little better than having insult. So he says, Loi. The person says, no, I don't possess that kind of equality. I cannot say that it's Shoveh B'Shoveh, that insult in Shemach and praise is the same thing. O Maloi, said the Chosid, where he saw all his quotes, O Maloi, im kein adayin lo higato. You have not yet reached, he says, a high madrege. Hishtadel. So my answer to you is continue to work, put in the effort. He says, Ulai tagia la madrega hazois. Maybe with effort, if you put in the koyach, you'll reach that madrega. Because, and look at the Chayyus Avodah says, Kihi, if you ever reach that madrega, Kihi huel yoyno shebe madrega sachasidim. If you want to pick any midah that you want to pick, which is considered to be the highest level, this he says is the highest. A person should be able to work on himself to the point, this kind of his battles. This kind of his battle is that by him it's Shoveh B'Shoveh, he says. Shevach Gnus, that's Al Yoyne Shebe Madregis, the highest level Shebe Chasidim, the Tachlis, he says, Hachamudois, and it's the most precious, he says, of all virtues. So again, this is a little bit of an idea, of course, of the Avodah, of Avodah Hashem, how far reaching this goes, and as the purpose of all this, of course, trying to promote, at least we should have these ideas, to have some goals, at least to come somewhat closer to this Nekudah. Regarding Shara B'Tochen B'Klal, you know, yesterday was the yahrzeit of the Rebbe Rebbeir, the Magid of Mezrich, who was, of course, the successor of the Baal Shem Tov. And the Magid, by the way, is just to give you an idea, the Balatanya, who was one of the loyal Talmidim of the Magid, also Yad Kislev, by the way, Balatanya, same thing as the Magid was also with his Kislev. So he writes in the Agdom of the Shulchan Aruch Harav, first of all, the whole idea that he wrote the Shulchan Aruch Harav, the Baal HaTanya, was on the encouragement, who encouraged him to do that, who really pushed him to do it, was the Magid. The Magid was the one who suggested it, and he said, who am I? He says, I'm going to write a Shulchan Aruch, he says, and so on and so forth. And the Magid insisted that he writes it. And the Baal HaTanya writes in the Agdom, when he just mentions the Magid, who he was, he writes, Haisaba Kedisha, he says, Haisaba Kedisha, Oir Oilam, the light of the world, the Moifes Hador, Hagoyin Holekai. is that the godly goyin hakarev of the Iberish Mosayedin, he says, Asheruach Hashem hoifiolo, that the Spirit of Hashem was on him, kenoidam before some as is known. Of course, in a certain sense, he's the Rebbe of all the Rebbes. He's the Rebbe of all the Rebbes because Torah of Hashem Tov, the Baal Shem Tov gave everything over to him, and it was through him that it was really disseminated on a large scale. Because most of the world of Hasidus come from the Magid. Of course, the Magid's source was the Baal Shem Tov, but the Torah had success with disseminating it all over the world, all over Poland and Volhynia and all of the different areas. It was him. Just to give you a few of all the greatest, admirers of Hasidus were Talmidim of the Magid, whoever you want, whether it's the Baal HaTanya, whether it's the Haflo, whether it's the Kozhin Tzur Magid, Rebbe Shmelke, you have Rebbe Mendel of Vitebsk, Rebbe Meilach of Lizhensk, and you have Renuchim Chernobler, which is the Skver dynasty, and so on, Rebbe Zisha. You go down and on, the list goes on and on. Talmidim of the Magid. And so just like Gabi Shabbat talking, it is related in the Sefer Aholi Yanki from the Shat and the Rebbes, which are from the original Geza, from the original dynasty. So he brings there that a Yid once came to the Magid. A Yid once came to the Magid. And says, Rebbe, he says, promise me a son. He didn't have children. He says, Rebbe, promise me a son. So the Rebbe says, similar to Utan Yaakovina, saying to Rachel, Hasachas elikimoni. He says, am I, instead of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a substitute of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says, Hispal Hashem, Dabn HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he'll send you Yeshua. So the Yid said, I should daven. I already daven, said Yehudish Gehov. So the Rebbe said, that maybe I should teach you how to daven, so you'll help. Maybe you don't know how to daven. Maybe I should teach you. That's not what he wanted to hear. That was throwing everything on him. So he's very, very upset, and he goes out with his broken heart and began to cry. They asked the Magid, he said, why were you not Mavtiachim that you're going to be mispal on his behalf, as you always do? Yidin come in all the time, and they need a Yeshua. They don't say, I'll teach you how to daven. You are mispal for him. Why did you not do the same thing now? Why did you not agree to be mispal on his behalf? Sent him away with a broken heart like that? And the Magid said, the chilik is like this, he says. So when a Yid comes, he says to me for Yeshua, he says basically he relies on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He just asks me to be mispalo because he believes, metoy chamuna, that my tefillah is more mekubal and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be the one who will bring him to Yeshua. He said, this Yid already I saw he was relying completely on me. So I answered in him a way that he should be miyayish for me and only rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now he can be mispalo for him. But I wanted to take away that crutch that he was relying totally on me. Now he can't do that. So now Behechrach is going to be forced to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let me just mention one more nekuda, which is very, very negaya to Emunah B'Tochen and Hashgacha Pratis B'Klal, and which is connected, which is a fantastic thing, which the Bala Musar, each one has a different, in the world of Musar, also different Chador and the Musar. You had Nabardik and you had Kelm, you had all the different Mahalchim in Musar. So, but to bring out one particular nekuda, we find that when Yosef HaTzadik, when he was sold into slavery, but the Pasuk tells us, of course, that when the brothers were sitting down and they were eating, they saw Orches Yishmaelim Bo Migilod, that they saw there was a caravan of Yishmaelim that they were coming from Gilod, and they were carrying, right, Gmaleim Noisim Nechois Utsri Veloit, the camels were laden, were carrying Nechois spices, Tsri, Balsam, Beloit, other types of spices, sweet-smelling, fragrant items that they had upon themselves. And it's well-known what Rashi tells us over here. Rashi tells us here, why is the Torah telling us what's an afkimin and what the Yishmaelim had on their camels? Do we really care? It's not immigration over here, Rabbi Yisrael. You know, did you package yourself? This wasn't what they intended. So what is the neguda here? Why was it necessary to know what the Yishmaelim were carrying? So Rashi says, famous Rashi, lo hidiyah matan tzchoren shel tzadikim. We should know and understand the schar that tzaddikim, namely Yosef HaTzadik. What was the schar? Because the derech hateva ein darkom shel arabiyim loseis elenaf the itron. Their klal, the type of items that are transported by Arabs were petroleum and something called resin. Bad odor. Shereichon ra, that had a very bad odor. Being that Yosef was supposed to be, right, was supposed to be taken by them and travel with them, that it should not become right harmed by the Reach Ra. It's a Peledigazah. In other words, what we see from here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we see, made sure that the Arabim who are going to be carrying Yosef, Yosef is going to be transported by them, should not have to smell the foul odor, the bad smelling usual items, the cargo that the Arabs usually carry, which is foul smelling oil, Reyach Ra. But rather, Kodesh Baruch Hu saw to it that they are carrying putnah, different than all times of carrying all kinds of besomim. The obvious question here, this is something Rabbi Yisai, the obvious question is that if a Kodesh Baruch Hu really wants to show and wants to reward tzaddikim, one would think that it could have been done in a much more convincing way. You know how? By saving Yosef altogether. Kodesh Baruch Hu wants to give schar to Yosef tzaddik. He could have done a much more convincing job to show how Kodesh Baruch Hu is on the side of tzaddikim and is right there. He's right there to do chesed with the tzaddik by saving him altogether from the entire event. In other words, Kodesh Baruch Hu is watching over tzaddikim. Kodesh Baruch Hu, in fact, is really watching over tzaddikim. Then why can't he just save him from all the suffering that he was about to endure? And someone once said very interesting. He said that this is could be comparable. He said, can you imagine a very common situation when a man finds himself in a catastrophic car accident? A man finds himself in a catastrophic car accident, a car crashes and breaks almost every bone in his body. Hatzolah comes, and they rush to the scene. They put him on a stretcher, and while they are speeding to the hospital, his friend that's riding with him there in the ambulance, he says, look how Hashem watches over you. He even put a comfortable pillow under your head. He says, really? What about the whole accident? He's watching over me. That's what's happening. Yosef is being sold into slavery. Oh, Hashem is watching over him. The Arabs are not carrying petroleum. You know what they're doing? They're carrying besomim over there. What's in a good? And right, and here's the terrors to this basically is the yesod in life. Terrors is in life. And the answer is that there are certain situations in life that are unavoidable. Meaning, not because Hashem isn't capable of preventing them, quite the opposite. Because Hashem orchestrated them. Hashem orchestrated them according to the needs of the person or the generation. Or the entire generation. Yosef was sold as a slave and brought to Mitzrayim in that state as a hachona to the future of his family, the future of Klal Yisrael. It was a vital ingredient. The reasons which are explained in Mefarshim, each one according to his way. This was the hachona bringing that Yid Hachot to Mitzrayim that was already preordained for the Brisbane Absorim. Vavodim Vino Oysom. Yosef Tzadik was the hachona to that. So this was unavoidable. This had to happen. However, in other words, this is part of the master plan. However, even with difficult times, Hashem shows kindness to Yosef. In other words, he had to be sold. He had to be sold as a slave. But why should he suffer unnecessarily? The nekuda is that even though Exerim and Hashemayim, Chas v'Sholom, which is a state which is, we would say, the opposite of Toiv in our eyes, but Kodesh Baruch Hu is exacting, you will not suffer one iota more than whatever is necessary for this situation. So if the Gzera was on the one hand that Yosef had to be sold on a slave, that was part of the plan. But at the same time, it's not necessary, you should suffer unnecessarily the petroleum and all the foul odor carrying items that the Arabs normally carry. So Hashem arranged something which is uncharacteristic, that the caravan was carrying perfume and not oil. That was a nekuda. So I thought that this is a tremendous lesson. So what I want to mention is that regarding, he says it in a little bit different way, was, you know, Remorska Pargamansky. Pargamansky was a Odom Godel Moed, a tremendous Ilui, from Telz. And I remember many years ago, there was an article in the Yiddish of Art, which was put out from the Gude, and who wrote the article by the Morch Bazar, Chaim Stein himself, when the Rashi was used on articles and biographies about someone. And he wrote a tremendous few pages about the godless of Remorch Pragamansky. Pragamansky pointed out the same way, he says, that even when a person finds himself in a tremendous sorrow, he says, Kodesh Baruch Hu wants to show him that his face is still shining upon. In other words, usually, the first impulse, a person finds a tremendous sorrow, he thinks that Kodesh Baruch Hu is masking him. Bobby shows, no. I was not mafker you. Because even in your tzara, you see, I'm controlling events in your tzara. You're not having the reyach ra there. You have the pillow. You have the besomim over there. That shows that the oynish, or whatever it befell the person, was not that because it was mafker him. The Kodesh Baruch Hu shows that Gok is right there. That something uncharacteristic, which normally never happens, that mitoich ha-tzara of Yosef, Kodesh Baruch Hu nevertheless, showed my face is upon you. I'm shining my face upon you. and therefore taking you out of a matzav of yush, because you know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu really is behind. There's a fatherly hand there at the same time. He said that you shouldn't fall all together. Now, Yasser Yisrani Ko, Olamovis Loi Nisanoni. HaKadosh Baruch Hu with it. Not that nature didn't allow me to die. No, no. In the Yasser Yisrani, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there with you. Yasser Yisrani Ko, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Unfortunately, I feel the pain, but Olamovis Loi Nisanoni. And the moment the time comes that the Gzeir is no longer supposed to be applicable, the moment it happens, he's free to be. Now, a person does not find himself in a tzara 1 second more than was necessary in a Shemayim to happen. And as Mefarshim pointed out many, many times, as we find it, in fact, by the Pasuk itself, when Yezra Tzadik was more than, right, many, many years in Tfisa, in prison, but when the time came for Yosef, after the 2 years, the extra 2 years was added. But the Pasuk said, they rushed them out. Whenever they rushed them out, because the moment that he was supposed to be free, you're not imprisoned even for 1 second more. And when the time ever came to be free, it didn't just happen, okay, take your time. No. He was rushed out of the bor. That's what the Chofetz Chaim pointed out also. No one knows how long the Gzeirah of Golus is upon the Jewish people. But one thing I can tell you, the moment that the Gzeirah no longer applies, the Gula comes immediately. The Gula is not something that's staggering. The Gula is not something that takes its time. The Gula is a process, you know. Whatever process is, Yidden will not be in Golus even for 1 second more than they're supposed to be. And when the time comes, they'll be taken out very quickly and immediately. So this again. So Rabbi Yisrael, let's take a look here. There's a chelik of the sheet, the kupon that we have here again that we did not manage to get to last week, and it's important you say this. Again, this is from the Beis Halevi. Beis Halevi in the Kuntres HaBitochen want to point out that Rav Shach said that he heard. Rav Shach was very, very close to the Briskura, very, very close. And as a matter of fact, he received the Haskoma on the Sefer Aviezeri. There's many, many Chalokim to the Sefer Aviezeri. You see the Haskoma to the Sefer on the Rambam. There's many, many Chalokim on the Rambam, all over. You see the Haskoma from the Briskura, and the Briskura wrote already in the 50s. That goes back a long time ago. In the 50s, Briskura wrote on Rav Shach, he says, he says, a person such as yourself does not have to come on to me or anybody like me. Why? It's a very unusual haskama. By the way, in Brisk is Emes. This does not exaggerate. It's right the way it is. Anyway, so Rav Shach said that he heard from the Briskerov. He said that in Slutsk there was a tzaddik known, Agoyne Tzaddik Menachem Mendel, he said, of Slutsk, that he said the following. Regarding, he said, Yerushalayim with the Beis Halevi. We spoke about it many ways already, many different illustrations. But Rav Shach mentioned, heard from the Briskerov that Rav Mendel of Slutsk said, regarding the Yerushalayim with the Beis Halevi, he said that if I would be the Poisik in the Bezin Shomala, if I, Rav Mendel of Slutsk, would be one of those who paskim, who gets Olam Haba, who does not, and so on and so forth, if I be one of the Bezin Shomala, he says, I would not give any Olam Haba, he says, to the Beis Halevi. He says, why? Because the pachad and the moira that the Beis Halevi had, the Yerushalayim, it was not shayek for him to be over an Aveira. Memela, he was an oinus not to do an Aveira. Olam Haba is, if you're tempted to do an Aveira, you know, you didn't, you refrained. Get Olam Haba. But the pachad and the moira, he says, the Beis Halevi, was to such an extent, that it was not shayek. It was not shayek. With his hands are tied. You want to do an Aveira? You can't. He's not shy from to do that there, the tremendous Meirish Shemayim that he had. And he pointed out to say, he says that this tremendous, Rav Shach said, this was the Shemayim of the Beis Halevi, he says, so we take a look at ourselves and say, how far behind are we lagging? But interesting just to mention that Rav Issa Zalman, by the way, was the Shver of Baron Kotler, by the way, and was also an uncle of Rav Shach, because Rav Shach was a nephew of Rav Issa Zalman's sister, son-in-law. Rav Shach was the son-in-law of Rabbi Zalman's sister, so he was the nephew of Rabbi Zalman. And he says that Rabbi Zalman used to say that when the Beis Halevi, he says, functioned bismanoi as Rosh Yeshiva and Vilojin. A lot of machlokes were at the time also. That was a big din Torah at the time also. A kapon, when the Beis Halevi functioned as Rosh Yeshiva and Vilojin, so Elul would come to the yeshiva. What's the Rosh Yeshiva for? Rosh Yeshiva is to speak and learning. In Elul, you couldn't talk to him and learning. because his mind was so occupied, he says, his mind, of the Emes Adin, and the Pachet of the Emes Adin, entire Pedishel, he says, Mrs. Zalman said, you couldn't talk to him in learning. So he says, imagine, says Rav Shach, he says, now make a cheshbon. We know, on the one hand, the tremendous Yerushalayim the Beis Halevi had, right? If, being that he had that much Yerushalayim, says Rav Shach, you can be sure, if he had such a Moirun Pachad, he wasn't Chayte. If he wasn't Chayte, why was he afraid of the Yom Adin? So how much more should we be afraid of the Yom Adin? If the Beis Halevi, with his tremendous Yerushalayim, what was he Chayte already? And you see that the Pachad and the Moirun that he had of the Yom Adin, he says, what should we think? The answer is the Beis Halevi did not know his Yerushalayim. And he's Gavis. Did not know. It is said, the point is, Rabban said it in Rabbi Chonon, that the Chofetz Chaim was mispalel in the world in the Olam HaTorah and the Olam of Gadlus. The Chofetz Chaim's Gadlus is usually identified with Tzidkis, not Goyness. Chofetz Chaim is identified as Tzidkis, Shmir Saloshin, and all the other Svarim on Musar, all the other Svarim on Musar that he wrote, all these drushes that he gave on Musar and so on. Chofetz Chaim thinking about Tzadik, a person with souls Nizar and Dibur and so forth. He says, the Goyness of Chofetz Chaim somehow is overshadowed, he says, by all the other Svarim the Chofetz Chaim wrote. And the emphasis of Chofetz Chaim was a Goyin HaGoyinim. Baran pointed out, by the Agav Ruch, if you look in the Chazinish, by the way, Kemat does not bring any Achroinim. Kemat does not bring any Achroinim. He brings sometimes Menches Chinuch, he brings some Sofer here and there, Noedi Yehuda, that's it. Chofetz Chaim, Mishnebura, he brings all over the place. True, he disagrees with him, that's why he brings it. But the fact is metavo with him. The fact he's metavo with him. Looking at the Seirv and looking at the Shabbos, all the places. We can't continue. He brings the Chofetz Chaim. But it's known what the Chazinish had the tremendous covet to Chofetz Chaim. But so Rabban says, so his greatness is overshadowed. It's tremendous going. Mishabur Aboisai, the Velt accepted Mishabur as being the poison for the world, and it's a tremendous avoid is there. The simplicity sometimes, not so simple, but they made Perushim Ari on it, you know. Or his Behodar made Perushim on it. Kentalon get page in Mishabur 2 days now. Took a simple thing with all the additions, all the Yisofas that they added to it. So the Goyim of Chofetz Chaim has been overshadowed. So Baran said, I believe in the name of Rabbi Chon said, because the Chofetz Chaim was mispalel, Chofetz Chaim was mispalel, mitoich. His anivis that the world should not recognize his goyness. As Ezra Bochonim. That the Chofetz Chaim was mispalel, the world should not recognize his goyness. So they asked Rabban, so why was he not mispalel that the world should not recognize his tzidkis? He says, poach it, he never believed he was a tzaddik. He says, didn't think he had to be mispalel. Goyness of the Gevissa cannot be sold. But the Shemayim, when a tzaddik didn't have a havimin, he's a tzaddik. So that wasn't mispalel, they shouldn't think I'm a tzaddik. Menishka tzaddik. So you've been mistaken there. But his goyness, he figured that the world will recognize him as a goyness. He was inspired on that aspect. That he's such a tzaddik. So Yitzhak was afraid of the Yom Adin. All right, Rabbi Yisrael, let's take a look. Said the Beis Halevi, the Gamzois Yosim Odom Eliboy. He says, Ki hasom bitchoyne bebosav Edom bilvad bebosav Edom. A person who places his trust in a bosav Edom milvad shein emoyil. He said that it doesn't help. And also says in Yeshaya. Yeshaya says the posik, Chidlu lochem min ha'odom. Withdraw from man. What do you want from man? Why are you soliciting? Why are you soliciting the aid of man? Chidlu lochem min ha'odom ashe neshoma ba'apoy, who has his breath in his nostrils. Ki ba'man nachshavu. What is he? So says the Novi. So besides, says the Beit Halevi, besides the fact, putting your trust in man, besides that it doesn't help, it's worse than that. Worse than not helping. Oizois hare komle be'orur. Chaz Vishalom, he says, a person can find himself under a klolo kimamar akosif. Orur hagever ashe yiftach bodom. So it's a posik in Yirmiyah. That's serious stuff. And then he says further, umam oid god lahatzichlis. And how great, he says, is the foolishness. The hech yukshe b'nei atzmoy, he says. Oibazoi, how does a person justify in his own eyes lekabel olav latusa a klola mipinovi? By the way, yam yonovi, that's a klola from a novi. Asher hizekoi vadoyu bora bishul b'tchoyna shul bosav adom. Shul hevel. So like this. A bosav adom promised you something, right? And that's hevel. The novi is telling you something. That's serious. And yet a person rather relies on a bosav adom. He's not concerned about what the novi says. And the bosav adom is kulay hevel, and yet he relies more on the bosav adom than what the novi told you. Ubevada lo yoy loy muma. Venimtsen mafsid, vishtayim. He's going to lose on two accounts. First of all, he's not going to achieve and reach his goal. Kumamra, because of the Pasuk says, in the Iyuv, the Eine Rishoyim says, Tichleno. The eyes of Rishoyim, they look with longing. The Rosh is longing. The Eine Rishoyim Tichleno. The eyes of the Rosh is longing. Umonais Ovad Mehem. But yet, haven, safe haven would be denied of them. Pitikvosom Mipach Nefesh. And their hope would become despair. See what the Navi says. So in addition, the fact is that he's not going to achieve anything. But on top of that, there will be an Oynish Al HaVeira. She also, the fact is, that instead of relying on a Kodesh Baruch Hu, he relied on a Bosav Adam. It comes out that he really hurt himself from two worlds. He said, Bishvil, he said, Devar Ruach Ubilti Moil. Something does not help. The Achre, he says. Now, now, when it becomes clear, if it becomes clear to you that you cannot rely on any creature, human being, you turn to place your trust on Kodesh Baruch Hu, which is one of the mitzvahs in the Torah. In a matter of fact, he says, Bishas Adin, you know one of the questions what a person is asked after 120 years? One of the questions is asked, Bishas Adin Shoyan Lo Tzipi Soli Yeshua. Well, you're waiting for a Yeshua. See, peace of Yeshua, what does it mean? Pirish, what it means is, Imchiko Yeshua v'lo inisyayish memeno. The person is going to be held against him. Did you fall into despair? Did you hope for a Yeshua and you were not misyayish v'schazik b'bitchoinoi? And you strengthened yourself and you'll be talking b'chol prat, senischadish olav in every area. Baboiteach, if you are successful in becoming a balbitochen, he says, marviach b'shtay, that you gain on two accounts. You gain a two. Boilam hazeh, bevada yastig mashechosa loy mitzdar chusoy. The Salevi clearly goes with that shita, that bitochen will allow a person to achieve that which he wants, because we pointed out there's different opinions what the definition of bitochen is. He goes with the same shita as we saw Salanter, and the others, and the Chayvus Havavis, by the way. The person will achieve his goals, reach his goals, his bakoshas will be fulfilled with bitochen. Kemam rakos of the posik, and he says, Pesuk says that Kodesh Baruch Hu will not allow the nefesh of a tzaddik to starve. We consider the Pesuk in Tilim. Pesuk says also, it says, Mishmua ro lo yiro. He will not have to fear from Mishmua ro nocho in libo betuach b'Hashem, the person whose heart trusts in Hashem. Ahar b'psukim doimelos, and many other psukim. So in addition to that, that he'll gain, that he has the opportunity, he opened the door, that Kodesh Baruch Hu should be mamala his bakoshe, that's on this world. But what about the tremendous char of bitoch in the next world? But that's immeasurable. There's a general cloud. There's char mitzvah on this world you don't get. So in addition to the profit of bitoch is to get what you are hoping to receive, that's not bitoch's char. That's bitoch itself doing it. That's what bitoch does. Bitoch gives the opportunity for a person, right, to achieve and to be able to acquire that which he needs. But beyond that, he said, the schar that's left for oilam habo, because all of the good oilam hazeh, that's rak priya mitzvahs, sho'ifal boilam hazeh, that's just the fruit of the mitzvahs, but the karen, the actual karen of the mitzvahs, kayim oilam habo shekulitoy. Now, he goes on to tell us the basic idea that people have to work for a living, and he goes on to point out, he says, v'hine eloho yoroi, he said, the truth is, that mitzad adin, a person would not have been necessary. The etzem when Hakadosh Baruch Hu created the world, a person was a shleimitik, a person would not have been appropriate, would not have been a needly shtadil bishum sibim asibus. Would not have to be involved in exerting himself in any area of any causes. The cholis tarchusa in all his needs, hoyu mizdamnin loy beloy shum yegir, without any effort. Ukemoy shahoyu by the merishin koydem achet. You know what it was by the merishin koydem achet? Quotes the Gemara Sanhedrin, Shohoyu Malochim Tzoylun Loi Boser. He had all the Misharsim doing it for him. He didn't have to do anything. He had the Malochim barbecuing for him. Shohoyu Malochim Tzoylun Loi Boser Umisanin Loi Ayin, and they would sip the wine. Right? They would drain the wine, Kedisa, it says in Sanhedrin. It was like Achikach, it is only after the Chet, Nigzar, all of the Zeis, Apechotoy Chalechem, Shenenash, Sheyihye Yogeya, the oynish was that he has to toil the hasik tzrochot to achieve his needs. That's an oynish. That's not what's supposed to be. That's the punishment. In addition to that, after the tzedas, besides the fact now he has to work for a living, but also after the chetav tzedas, he already was filled with inati, with an inclination to do bad also. Within him, his whole mahus changed. The whole genetic makeup of Adam Rishon, that the etzim was kuli toiv, the ra was the external, that was the nokesh from the outside. But after the chet, the toiv ra was mixed within the person itself. The conditional thing that happened after the chet, go to the top of the sheet. Now, he points out, once a person has an inclination to do bad, the slavi wants to point out that the oynish of bezeis hapecha toich alechem goes hand in hand. It's an oynish that was needed, this particular one. Because Baruch had many ways to give oynish. But this particular oynish was needed. Why? Because once a person has an inclination to do bad, in order that a person should avoid doing evil, you have to be busy. Because batola, we know, maybe the day when a person is batola brings him to a lot of things which he shouldn't be doing. So, Beis Halevi says, now that a person, after the chet also, has been filled with an inclination to do bad, the mehoyah ki mikedan HaKadosh Baruch Hu left it as it was before. That means he had nothing to do, so be open to chet. Be open to chet. Ukamamaram, as the Mishnah says in Ksubish, batola, maybe the day zimor. To all kinds of immorality. So the alkane, so be now that he had an inclination to do bad, so with the toiva for him, nigza olav, he says, hayagir. So that was nigza, that was that he should have to toil, al derech amor, because this is going to protect him from chet. Being busy, figuring out and working and toiling, that's going to prevent, as it says in Ovois, the yofit talmud toilim derech eret, the combination of both, sheyagir ashneim, the yagir in both, mishkach asobot. So clearly you haven't come out from him furish, where it said that the yagir of the chelik of derech eret as well, is kedei mishkach asobot. Because now you're busy. How do Kotz Rebbe Tamul Gezud? Kotz Rebbe is the same. Mana chasidim says, dindiginish. Nishma matunish. Matnish katzat. Mana chasidim says, don't sin. Not because you're not allowed to. There's no time. Sharfa Kotz Kavod. Kadizu be kedushin. As the Gemara tells the kedushin, so on and so forth. Go to the next paragraph, Rabbi Zayi, so we save some time. So the Akhrei says, Shehoodom also, so being that it was an oynish, so you know what? Then you don't have to do anymore. You don't have to toil anymore. You have to toil to fulfill the oynish, but the oynish doesn't say 24 hours a day. So it says the achrish adam osa hamutal olov upora choyvoy bis askoy beeza esek, and he paid his choy by engaging right in some business. Shuv yifta b'shem. So now b'torah is supposed to come in to complement that. Ki yazm loy panasos hakadosh baruch hu, he has to have b'torah, and his baruch hu will in fact prepare his panosah. Now look what he says. Okay, kishayim adam shum sibel ishtadul boy. So a person does not find any sibah, any cause to be mishpat lahazik tzrokov. If a person doesn't see any way, he doesn't find an opening for panosah. Never for situations. Al yipoy liboy mizeh. Should not despair. Ki achve shekvan in nalo loy shari shtadlis. Look what basically he says. If Shemaim took away your shtadlis, now that means that Hashem has to provide it to you some other way. The shtadlis was a klolo, he says. The shtadlis was b'gzeh zapecha toich alechem. Because otherwise, the oilim before the chet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu provided it by himself. So if the ishtadlis has been taken away from you, you're living in a time ishtadlis. So he says, ki achve shekvan ninalu lo ishari ishtadlis, if the gates of ishtadlis have been closed, hamutal olov, the ishtadlis that you should have done has been closed for you, shuv nifter machiv, then you have no chiv anymore. The yeshul of toyer b'ashem, that somehow, in some way, ki afilam cholila, he says, hatzora kreiva, even cholila, the tzora is very close, vein odom yudeya, and he with his own eyes cannot see any way out. Then Adam Yudeh Shum Eitzeh Heichli Hinotul Memenot Mekol Mokim Darki Hashem Nalomim. The ways of Hashem are hidden. They are hidden Me'enehu Adam with Shuas Hashem Terefayim. In one moment, Hashem wills it, the Yeshua comes. And so he brings down the Pasuk in Iyev, where the Pasuk in Iyev says, Hein Yikteleini Lo Yayachel. Iyev says, were he even to kill me, he says, still I would yearn for him. Lo Yikteleini, even if he would kill me, Lo Yayachel, still I would yearn for him. This is what the Beis Halevi points out, and as Chazal say in Brochus, Darshu on that posik, Afil cherev chado monachas li al tzavoroi, al yimna atzmoi min arachmim. By the way, Kshuto, of course, what does that memory mean, Rabbi said? It means that even Chaz Hashem, the sword, the chalif is of mahalz. What? You never know. Yishu Hashem ki Abraham, the person still has his betochen HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a simple pshat. During the Holocaust, we even went through a lot of sorrows, terrible sorrows. Adam Godel, who saw You saw a tremendous aliyah, a tremendous madrega in people going through tzaras. The opportunity that people still found it in their hearts to do chesed while they themselves were starving. You saw that people still found it within their hearts to do chesed, whether it meant giving up this little piece of the bread, which itself was a life staple, or in any other way to try to give some comfort to somebody else. It's an amazing thing. When everybody's life was hanging on the line, and yet still, amidst the toich, the tremendous, tremendous sorrow, they still found it in their heart to have rachmanis on somebody else. So he said, maybe this is a new pshat in this Gemara. Let's read the Gemara again. Afila cherev chada munachas, he says, al tzavori. A person is in a tzara. Holocaust. The noose is on his neck, around his neck. Al yimna asma min arachimim, from having rachmanis on somebody else. Al yasma arachimim. You're talking a terrible tzara. But still you find room in your heart, not only to pity yourself and to worry about yourself, you find room in your heart to have rachmanis on somebody else. Al yimna asma min arachimim means you're rachmanis on somebody else. That's the al yimna. That's another call, oimeka kavona. Said in this Chazal. So Kapon Rabbeisai, so this is again what the Beis Halevi talks about, right? Archiv Ishtavos on the one hand, and yet Archiv Betochen in the other hand. So let's go now, Rabbeisai, to the Chovos Halvavos, Mimamshich, where we are. Again, this is in Peri Gimel. In the other Chovos Halvavos, I think it was Resh Tezayin, I'm not sure, maybe towards the bottom now somehow. You'll find it there. It should start, Umisha Einoi Mevin. There's somewhere. I don't have a chavis. I think it was we finish that. That's finished. Okay, let's go to the other side. Yud Zayin. And after Hashavi, Hashavi, it says Umisha Ein Emeivin. Okay, Umisha Ein Emeivin. Reish Yud Zayin. The chavis of was Perigim. All right. Umisha Ein Emeivin in Yon Hoylan. Chavis of was saying about how all the various causes, you see things happen in the world. And looking with the naked eye, it appears to you that this was the cause which brought the effect. Says the Chovos Halvavos, you're mistaken. You think that the cause brought the effect. However, HaKadosh Baruch Hu already preordained which cause brought that cause, which brought the next cause, and the next cause, which ultimately brought the effect. So everything was already prearranged in the blueprint of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan. So it says the Chovos Halvavos, so Misha ain't a maven in Yon Olam. Someone's not a maven on the Inyonim of the world. Someone's not a maven on the ways of the world. He looks at the world with his physical eyes. So he's not a maven in the Inyon Olam. He says, Yahshua. So he thinks a person who's not a maven looking at the world, he looks at very superficially. So he thinks, Ki asiba hamischadeshes, he thinks that the newly created cause, Mechayeve Shinu Hinyonim. He thinks, he sees a cause, he sees a certain cause that took place, and that cause brought a consequence, so he thinks it was the cause. He thinks it was this cause, this new cause, brought the particular effect, brought the new effect. The newly created cause, he thinks, brought this effect, and this chapchusom, and the transformation, minyan alinyan. However, says the Chovos Halvavos, all these causes that you're looking at, they themselves, he says, are weak causes. And insignificant. Vahasibo chalusho says unikalo. The truth is, all these causes that through the naked eye give the impression that they are bringing about these effects, he says these are chalusho, these are weak causes, unikalo. And as a matter of fact, they are insignificant causes. Meiyos memenu shinui oichilu biatzmam, that they themselves should be able to bring a change, right, or a transformation within themselves. As he points out, and brings a little bit more lasecha, where you can see it more glaringly, that not what simply appears to be a cause is really a cause to the effect. Common, everyday life in farming. Kashanira, let's view and observe. Hagargir ho echot. There's something very phenomenal. You call it nature, he says. But something very phenomenal that you see. You see that you can plant one gargir echot, means one little grain. One grain minachita, one grain of wheat. And that one grain of wheat that you plant, matzmiach shloish meyoy shibolin, eventually it produces 300 ears of wheat. One little gargir, one little grain of wheat, produces 300 ears of wheat. And by the way, and each ear itself now is filled with seeds. Each ear is filled with new seeds. The b'chol shibolin, and in each ear shloishim gargam. He even tells you how many. He says 30. There's 30 new grains, 30 little grains of wheat, which means Which means that now plant, now replant that, and you have endless amount of tvu, of grain. It comes out, if you trace it back again to the first cause was a little grain, the first grain. So v'hoyo ha-gargir ha-echod, sibo, the single grain turns out to be a cause la-aseres alofim, 10,000s, tens of thousands of new grains, he says, a karav lehem, or somewhat close to that. One can really see, yeah, that's the sibo. But there has to be some higher force here that allows one single grain, that's all you start out with, at the end you have thousands and thousands of grain all coming up from one. Haya alim, he says, can you fail to recognize, he says, Haya alim, Roshna Halomet. Haya alim, can you fail to recognize? Ki koyach ha-gargir, that the koyach of that single grain on its own inherently, cholush ma'atsois kamuzeh. This is a cycle, he says. Yeah, nature says it's happening. That's what you look at. Who put in all those koyaches? Who gave these tremendous powers out of one single grain of wheat to be able to produce kol ha-kamus hazeh? These amazing amounts of quantity. And also all the other types of plants, you know, that you're sowing and you're planting. And what about reproduction in general, he says. V'chein, he says, Noima, the same thing you should observe, he says, b'havayas ha'odom, in human reproduction. U'sharachayim, the same thing, other living creatures. Metipas ha'zera, for one tip of zera. Millions of people. Endless amount of people. And you see how the large, tremendous, the fish, tremendous, largely fish, and he start out from a small egg, from a tiny egg. The tiny fish egg. So, yeah, to the naked eye, that little egg produces tremendous fish. To realize that there's something more that empowered, that gave the tremendous power to be able to come out, that something seems to be so significant. A little egg seems to be so insignificant. You have to produce such a mighty fish at the end of the day. One little grain seems to be too weak and too insignificant. Yeah, it's the cause. This mistake that you're making, it, in your eyes it appears that was the cause. But look how insignificant it is inherently. If not for the koyach that was put into it, he says, by something higher. And it goes further. And thereby, that being that everything is Hashgochas Hashem and everything is through HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creation. So v'tirdas ha-nefesh, the fact is that you are too preoccupied. A person puts all of his koiches into this world. That's called tirdas ha-nefesh. Tirdas ha-nefesh means the extra or excessive ishtablus. Being preoccupied. Lahagdim, he says, ma she'icher ha-boyer yisaleh. Because you want to advance that because Baruch Hu decided should be later. So no, you want to advance it. Or la'acher ma she'ikdim, or sometimes you want to delay what a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants to advance. Or ula'harbois ma she'imit, sometimes you want to increase what a Kodesh Baruch Hu diminished. Or vice versa. Ula'hamit ma she'hirbo mikinyon oilom, in one's worldly possessions, says the Chofetz Chaim, mibli sibe, he says, if the fact is, if his kavon is not, in other words, if all the shtavos that he's doing, if it does not lead, el kiyum mitzvah avodosoi v'kibul torosoi, he says, you're really wasting your time. In other words, you see what the Chaim Salvador says. There is two types of ishtablas. If the ishtablas of a person is merely to amass material gains, he says, that kind of ishtablas, you're going to realize you cannot advance what the Kodesh Baruch Hu wants to delay, you cannot increase what the Kodesh Baruch Hu wants to diminish. If your kavanah is not, if it's not leading to kiyum mitzvah avodosoi v'kibul torosoi. In other words, the Chaim Salvador is telling us, regarding Torah mitzvahs, all the shtablas in the world is not only mutter, but there's a chiyah, there's an obligation. That's where your hishtag. Why? Because hakol b'dei shemayim puts me yerushamayim. Yerushamayim is not something that says, I'll give you the yerushamayim. There, you're going to have as much as you put in. The shtablas in material gains, he says, that comes from Kodesh Baruch Hu. So you do your shtablas, he says. But to be preoccupied, he says, that's not what the Tochan is all about. And that's not the cause and effect. And basically, you also said it. Shtavos was a gzeir that you have to do. But that's not the effect. That's not what brings about the tetzor of how much one's success is going to be. And therefore, the shtavos, if your kavona is that it should lead to ki mitzvah avidosa v'kibul terosoi, then a person should be pursued. Adrava, you pursue it b'chol koichoi. In the Chelik Revi, actually, matter of fact, he elaborates on that. When it comes to Yonam Tayyar Yishumayim, there all the koichos, you put in all the koichos, all the shtavos. It's never too much. Never too much, he says, when it comes to Yonam of shtavos regarding Tayyar mitzvahs. Why is it that a person, when it comes to material and worldly possessions, thinks that his ishtavlis, right, is going to give him simcha, it's going to give him happiness and give him success. He says two things. It's chalishus ha-hakora ba-amitis yidiyosoy. Because a person is not really fully convinced. A person is not very thin convinced that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows b'yediya berura what's going to happen. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is gozer on a person, you know, that which his lot is going to be. And therefore he thinks that he has the ability to change it. So it's a chalishus, it's a weakness in his hakora, in his recognition. That's one thing. The other thing is, he says, the sichlus, is an ignorance that he has, mehovin toivis hanhogosoy. A person always seems never to be happy unless he has more and more and more. He does not recognize that really there's such a thing of eizo osher semer b'chelkoy also. He does not understand, he's too foolish to understand the toivis hanhogosoy that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had given him and to find happiness also within his lot. So, kvaroma zachochot. Now, when you know that, the truth is that Shlomo HaMelech, the Chochom, already was Meramis, he alluded to this, B'mamoroi, when he said, L'koil zman ve'es l'chol chayfetz tachas ha-shemoyim. He says that the truth is, everything has a season, L'koil zman, everything has a season, and ve'es l'chol chayfetz, what does that mean? And a time for everything, tachas ha-shemoyim. And that's the famous, of course, in Koheles, the 28th itin, this es l'ledes, ve'es l'omus. Each thing, the positive side and the negative side. Right? There's Eis Sapoid, is the time for mourning. There's Eis Lirkoid, is the time for dancing. The Arkach Zohar, when he says, L'kol Zman, there's a season for everything in life, then he mentions Esru Mishmoyin and Yonim. He mentions 28. 28 Zmanim for different things. 28 Zmanim for different things. In other words, what it means is, by the way, as is deeper, there's a parish called Pas Lechem on Chovis Havov. It's one of the editions of Chovis Havov. It's called a parish. It's called Pas Lechem, an early parish. He writes, L'chol Zman means to say not only there's a time for everything, merely. I mean, what it means is, in depth, L'chol Zman, the time means whatever happens in the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Kavei Zman. L'chol Zman, when things happen in the world, there's a Zman, means HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Kavei Zman. L'chol Zman, that whatever happens in the world, in fact, there's a Zman. The Eis L'chol Chayfetz means, what do you mean the Eis L'chol Chayfetz? Which means that whatever a person wants to, Chayfetz means Chotetz. What a person wants to do, because you brought up with Geyser when you might be Masliach in it. The Eis L'chol Chayfetz. There's a time. Which means, this, by the way, complements what he said before, that you don't have to have the ability to be Magdim to advance what Kesh Baruch wants to delay. In other words, the Eis L'chol Chayfetz. There's a time. You can't bring it closer, nor can you bring it later. There's an Eis L'chol Chayfetz. A thing that you want to achieve, that you want to gain, there's a time for that. There's going to be a time. However, it says, Tachas HaShemayim, says the Paslechem, he says, maybe somewhat homiletically, all these things that are limited to time, all these things that your koichas are limited, Tachas HaShemayim, are on things that are under heaven, that are below heavenly, materialistic. In the world of materialism, in the world of Gashmias, you are not given the control. There the control comes in the Shemayim. But in the life that's Ma'ala Shemayim, in your spiritual world, that's Ma'ala Shemayim, there's no particular Zman, there's no Chayfetz. Which means is, you'll go ahead and do it, and you'll be Matzliach. Kodesh Baruch Hu, right? V'derech shalom Moritz Leilech, Malichan Oysoi. Person wants, Kodesh Baruch Hu will give him success. It's only Tachat HaShemayim. That's when we find there's the limitations. In Inyonim that are below Shemayim, which are earthly things, which are not heavenly things. So he mentions between the 28 things that have Zmanim. So he mentions V'umachomar Eislo Ledes V'Eislo Amus. He says there's time to be born, and he says there's time to die. Ad Omroi till the end of the 28th, then the middle there are many more. Then he says Eis Melchoma V'Eis Shalom. He's trying to show you that things are Nizam in a Shemayim. You can't bring them closer. You can't bring them, delay them. V'Omer the Pesuk can tell us further. Ki Eis V'Fega Yikres Kulam. Time and death will happen to them all. V'Oman he says further. Ki gvoya, he says, me al gvoya, he says, shomer, which means there is one higher than high who watches, and it says, ugvoyim al shomer, right? It says, ugvoyim aleim, and still higher above them. Which means there are causes which bring causes, which bring causes, until the very, very first cause, which comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. These are not the middle causes that bring the effects. Ultimately, there is shomer and shomer al gabeim, there's always higher and higher, till you reach. Bahalicho is dine habiri yizborach, he says, and therefore, the manner of how Kodesh Baruch Hu conducts this world, he says, are yoise nalomois va'amukois, he says, they are too hidden, and they are too deep. Vel yoinois, above us, they're too high. Mahagia el yediyas chelkeyem, we can't even understand the chelik. It means afilichal kein. And goshkin klola. And so you understand the whole thing. Even a chelik you don't understand. Tarom ha'kosef. And the posuk says already Yeshaya. Ki gobu shemayim yoretz. He says, more than the distance between heaven and earth, more distance between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ways. It's far enough between heaven and earth. Everybody knows that. Ki gobu shemayim yoretz, ki gobu drochayim yidracheichem ma'machshevoisai ma'machshevoisaychem. Interesting, he said, b'shem Rabbi Yitzchak Baditchever. Of course, the ultimate mammon and baal mitochin. He said, Rabbi Yitzchak Baditchever, he said his name, that he once said, that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would give over to me the reins of running the world, he says, this is for one day, I would know how to run the world. This is what he said. Because Baruch would give me the reins of running the world, I would know how to run the world. So he asked him, Rebbe, how would you run the world? Exactly the way Kodesh Baruch does it. Exactly the way Kodesh Baruch does it. This guy, nothing different. We had mentioned that we concluded this. We mentioned from the Tzadik of Rebbe, Zichron Lebracha, there's a Dovah Pella, which is mentioned in a sefer called Ner Yisroel. He mentioned that a particular Yid wanted to be oiled in Eretz Yisrael. It was before, during the wartime. He wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael and needed to get certificates to be able to go to Eretz Yisrael. So, in order to get the certificates, the papers, he had to go to Vienna. Vienna was a major mokim, and there was the ability, offices, to be able to get certificates to be oiled in Eretz Yisrael. He spent there, and in order to do that, he left his wife back home. He's from Poland, made his way to Vienna. And he had to spend there quite a while because you couldn't arrange it in one day. It was a duration of many, many weeks and months in order to do that. While he's staying in Vienna, he receives an emergency telegram. He says from his house that he should immediately come home because his wife, Loyalenu, is in a matzav kosher. Finds herself in a very difficult matzav. Should come home immediately. So he goes into the Tzadik Rebbe. Tzadik Rebbe, as we mentioned, lived in Vienna, and he was nifter in Vienna also. After 1934. So he goes to Vienna, he goes into the Rebbe, and he asks him what the Rebbe said, what's the Yetzer? And the Rebbe says, Foonish, don't go home. He said, don't go. A few days pass, and receives a second emergency telegram, and it's telling him that the condition of your wife has become worse. He says, come home immediately. The Rebbe looks at the kvittel, and the Rebbe says, don't go. And he says to him, and I might add, he says, nothing wrong with your wife. Your wife is okay. A few more days go by, and now he receives a third telegram that his wife is on the brink of death. Rahman al-Islam. His wife is on the brink of death, and he goes mamash with a bahola. Mamash with tremendous excitement and anxiety. He goes to the Rebbe and asks, what do I do? And the Rebbe said, I already told you what to do. However, v'derech shodem roitze leilach molich anoisa, do what you want. The way that a person chooses to go, do what you want. He goes back to Poland and he finds his wife is 100% healthy and well. One of the Kroivim Mishpoche, who did not forgive him to go to Eretz Yisrael, tried to hold him back from going. So he sent this telegram to tell him to come home. He shouldn't be able to settle their certificates. The Maisa is he was not able to receive the certificates, so he remained where he was. After a number of years, he was taken to Auschwitz, and he meets a second Yid. And he tells the second Yid what happened. I was in Vienna. I had the opportunity, he says, to get the certificates. The Rebbe told me not to go. I received this telegram. And at the end, I insisted to go back home. The Rebbe said, "B'derech shodem roitze leilach molich anoisai." Now I understand. He ended up in Auschwitz. Rabbi said he never made it. He died. His life could have been saved had he listened. No, this is Rabbi Yisai. This is Mr. Lishmaid of HaKomim to have a little bit of bitachon, Rabbi Yisai. This is Hatzlocha Vayid. Next week you do a shiur. Yeah.